This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
President Bush said yesterday he would meet the families of British soldiers who have been killed in Iraq during next week's state visit. He also made it clear he would do his best to bolster the prime minister's political standing at the same time. He told the Press Association he would meet the families of British victims of September 11th and of the 54 British soldiers killed in Iraq who died in a noble cause. Mr. Bush has yet to attend a single funeral of any American soldier killed in Iraq. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay has organized a charity that benefits abused and neglected children and the Republican Party, the New York Times reports. The newspaper said potential donors were being asked to give up $500,000 to spend time with DeLay at the GOP convention in New York City next year. DeLay's office said most of the funds collected will go to the children, but money from the charity will also be used to pay for GOP yacht cruises, convention parties, and a luxury suite. The commission investigating the September 11th terror attacks said on Thursday that its deal with the White House for access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports would let the White House edit the documents before they were released to the commission's representatives. In its statement, the victim's family group, the Family Steering Committee, said the agreement would prevent a full uncovering of the truth and is unacceptable. All 10 commissioners should have full, unfettered, and unrestricted access to all evidence, including but not limited to all presidential daily briefings. Administration officials have acknowledged that they are concerned that intelligence reports received by Mr. Bush in the weeks before 9-1-1 might be construed to suggest that the White House failed to respond to evidence suggesting that Al-Qaeda was planning a catastrophic attack. The White House acknowledged last year in response to news reports that a copy of the daily brief in August 2001 noted that Al-Qaeda might use hijacked planes in an attack. An American general leading military efforts in Iraq will reestablish his headquarters in Qatar, reflecting what he described as a sense of urgency in the face of increasing attacks on U.S. and allied troops there. General John Abizid, head of U.S. Central Command, said resistance forces in Iraq number no more than 5,000, despite a CIA intelligence finding of 50,000 insurgents.
More news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
When Roy Williamson hit a tee shot off the fairway, the lie turned out to be much rougher than he thought. Williamson, 60, was bitten in the head by a rattlesnake when he went to retrieve his ball from some wetlands. He said he picked up the ball and felt something scratch at his right temple as he stood up. He saw blood and then the rattler, a good 6.5 or 7 feet long. Doctors said the snake bit him twice. Williamson said he will play golf again, but will be much more careful.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Is anything going to be real in our world, or is everything to be simulated reality created by profit-seeking corporations? Already we have Disneyland's plastic imitations of quaint European villages. We have dairy creamers that contain no cream and don't come from dairies. We have pets that are not actual animals but pre-programmed robots. We have kids playing baseball on handheld computers instead of out on a baseball field. And now, even the small sensory joys in our lives are no longer real, but instead are synthetic replications. Take the pleasure of buying a new car and inhaling that new car smell. Is it real, or is it nuance? Cadillac has revealed that it now imbues each of its vehicles with an artificial scent called Nuance that was created in a chemistry lab by a company that specializes in, quote, aroma quality management. Leather seats? No need to go to that expense, for the company can make a plastic covering that, it claims, feels and smells more like leather than leather. That's only the start of fake fragrances in automobiles. An executive of this smell-simulating company says, "We believe there is growth potential in people wanting to be in this big, burly SUV with rich walnut, and they want it to smell like wood. So, now they've got a wood perfume for SUVs, which is necessary, since even real wood paneling is lacquered and doesn't have an actual wood smell. Then there's a car's sound. Remember the great sensual rumble of old Fords? Well, now they're back. Not for real, but thanks to an artificial sound system. Ford used computers and focus groups to come up with a classic rumbling sound, and then it hired a company to install a system of resonators, so Ford's new pickup trucks artificially rumble like an old V8. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the brave new world of marketing, no need to experience reality, just fake it.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, okay, I'm here. Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday. Thank goodness, huh? Program produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Phone number here, if you'd like to join in tonight, and we certainly hope you will. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. And you can email during the program by addressing your missive to Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Bush. Bush. He's going to visit with families of British soldiers who were killed in action in Iraq. Of course, he won't do that in this country when he makes his visit to the UK. I'm not real sure how to respond to that. It's an outrage, of course. But everything that this thuggish administration does is an outrage. Does he hate our troops that much that he won't attend a memorial service? Or didn't the little weasel say that he's the one that hugs the mothers and you got that, Kathy? Let's hear that. Let me hear that.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Yeah, I got something you can hug. How about this huge porcupine here? Hug it real close. It's incredible. Who does he hug? Kathy, you're the producer. Who does he hug? Mothers and wives? Who?
Pickles? Babs?
No. Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Limbaugh is out of the Pigman's out of rehab. He'll be on the air Monday. I got an email from Paul in Toronto. Right before the program, he said a few weeks back when it came out about the pigman's fondness for hillbilly heroin, you thought that his radio career was probably over because of the moral clause that is standard in radio contracts. Yet Monday's back on the air. Do you think that the producers of his show are putting him back on the air to see how many of his brain-dead ditto heads will tune in? And if they fail to tune in, the rug will be pulled out from under him. Just wondering. Paul in Toronto. I would imagine with a quarter of a $1 billion investment, which is what Premier Radio Networks, owned by Clear Channel, that's what they have in this monster, that they do want to protect their investment. And so I would imagine they're looking at Limbaugh's illegal activities as an addiction, as a sickness, as an illness, and they're probably going to give him a chance now, as far you know, to recover. I say, I still stand by what he said. His career is over, because A, he's not going to make it. I can tell you right now, this guy is not going to make it. He might have made it through 30 days of rehab. But he will be back on street drugs within 30 days. There's no doubt. Now, will we know about it? Possibly, possibly not. But I don't think he's going to make it. He doesn't have the personality to recover from addiction. I think anyone who's dealt in addiction or addictive behavior will tell you that when somebody's trying to kick, you've got to go through a real series of humbling confrontations with your own self and eventually with the rest of the world. Limbaugh is not capable of that. The pig man is not capable of that. No way. So anyway, maybe some of you will listen to report Monday. Not that I care, but, you know, whatever. Now, this thing with Bush, he was interviewed by, I think, a reporter, a writer for the Telegraph, of London Telegraph or the UK Telegraph, whatever. And in that interview, according to, this is on MSNBC tonight, the reporter for the Telegraph in the UK said that Bush told him in the course of the interview he wants to pray with these families. And the reporter also said on camera that in his discussions with Bush, in the interview with Bush, that all these reports about Bush being deep into Christian fundamentalist mythology is all true, that this guy really is as sick of a religious fundamentalist as a lot of people have identified him. So I don't know. Anyway, Bush is going to he plans to meet with the families of some UK troops killed in Iraq when he visits London next week. The Brits have a real surprise waiting for him. They're going to try their best to let him know that he is a vile, unwelcome guest in their country, and they would just as soon he leave as soon as possible. According to the BBC, Bush said he would tell the families of the dead troops that their dead relatives had not died in vain and that the prayers of the American people were with them. I'm sure that will be a comfort to... Now, the MSNBC piece had several, two or three family members, fathers, and I think in, two fathers, and possibly a mother, who said they didn't want Bush anywhere near their families, that they would no more shake his hand than piss up a rope. My choice of words there, but that's essentially what they were saying, that Bush is not welcome. The one father said he didn't die for freedom. My son didn't die for freedom. He died for Bush's oil. The God, what a sick person, isn't he? Bush said he will not be upset by the mass protests that are planned. We mentioned it to you last night. He said the messages that he's going to carry to some of the families of the dead British soldiers. 54 British soldiers have died. About 300 Americans have died. He said there's two messages. One, the prayers of the American people and the prayers of the president are with them, he said, referring to himself in the third person, as they suffer. Secondly, I will tell them that their loved ones did not die in vain. The actions we have taken will make the world more secure and the world more peaceful in the long run. This man involves himself in fantasies that if you or I did it, we would be committed. We would be sent to a facility, not unlike the one Limbaugh went through, in order to calm our fevered brains while therapists worked with us 24/7 to say, no. No, the actions we took will not make the world more secure and peaceful. The actions we took will make the world more warlike and dangerous in the long run, the short run, the intermediate run. But this is George Bush, and he is backed by the oligarchy in this country and the press and the media and the Republican Party and 52% of the American public. So whatever he says is what goes, right? The father of the youngest U.K. soldier killed in Iraq said Mr. Bush and Mr. Blair did not care about the deaths of British troops. Andrew Kelly, who was 18 and from Tavistock in Devon, died in a shooting accident near his barracks in the southern city of Basra on 6th of May. His father, Robert, told BBC Radio's 4 Today program that he had not been invited to meet Mr. Bush and didn't want to meet him. The father said, "For these people to meet families, it is only for their own gain. What does George Bush care about our families and my family? He doesn't care." Well, that's absolutely correct, Mr. Kelly. Bush wants you, if not you, some more acquiescent family members of dead British soldiers to pose with him in photo ops for his reelection campaign because he is a psychopathic killer. And like all psychopathic killers, he simply doesn't care. He doesn't care. The Brits are on to him. We Americans, being the dumbest culture ever to rise to global prominence that we have, we certainly are the most powerful nation ever in the history. We are the most destructive nation ever in the history of the world. But we are also just grossly and massively ignorant and stupid. So in this country, When the videos are played, and they will be, of George commiserating with the parents of dead soldiers and everybody weeping and wailing and George down on his knees praying to Jesus or somebody, here in this country we'll say, "Oh, my God, isn't that..." Yes, he is a compassionate concern. Oh, look, George's heart bleeds for the poor British soldiers. And some of us will say that because some of us are massively stupid. Not all of us, though. There's a family in Illinois, downstate Illinois, Genoa, Illinois, or Genoa. They buried one of their sons, Army First Lieutenant Brian Slavinas. He was one of those 16 killed in Iraq earlier this month when the Chinook helicopter that this lieutenant was piloting, was shot down. He was memorialized yesterday by family and friends in a service where the family told the military to get the hell away. More than 200 people, according to the Chicago Sun-Times here, more than 200 people packed Faith United Methodist Church, and a few dozen more listened to the 70-minute service in the church basement. There were some soldiers in uniform in the church, ostensibly Brian's friends, but the casket was covered with flowers, not an American flag. One of the few military traditions the family allowed was the playing of taps outside the church after a brief service at a nearby cemetery. Outside the church, the dead soldier's mother gave a blistering attack on Bush. Rosemary Slavina said, "George Bush killed my son." Let me repeat that. The mother said, "George Bush killed my son. I believe my son Brian died not for his country, but because of our country's lack of a coherent and civilized foreign policy." Lieutenant Slavinas was 30 at the time of his death. And mourners got to watch a slideshow of various stages of the young man's life as a little leaguer, an elementary school student, an adult with his father, and as a soldier. Lieutenant Slavinas had made an effort, once he found out he was being deployed to Iraq, to resign his commission. The military told him no. He is now dead, and his mother said to the military, "Get away from my dead son." And George Bush killed him. It's very true, and George Bush has killed 300-plus other young men, American men, also Mrs. Slavinas. And he will continue to kill. We are almost at 400, or have we passed 400 dead Americans now? We will soon be at 500, and then 600, and then 800, and then 1,000. And it will continue and continue and continue, because the Bush administration has zero respect for human life. Zero respect for the U.S. military. Zero respect for anything except their game.
Filling up their glasses. No expression. No expression. Hide my head. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind. I'm dying, are the best I've ever had. I find it
Children waiting for the...
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, 800-825-5937. Dan is calling from Richmond, California. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike Malloy. I got 5 new listeners to your show the other day at college, and I've been trying to spread the word, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
And
well, thank you.
And I'd like to tell you, I had an uncle... So he's at my grandma's house right now. But anyways, he went to Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and he is this he just totally whacked out by the war.
Right.
And he didn't even go, but he was at an island nearby. And he totally changed his views. He was once a Republican, is what my aunt told me, and now he is a Democrat.
Mm.
He's a crazy Democrat, which is what he is. But, man, if you talk to him, he sounds crazy. And also, my Senator Barbara Boxer, she was on Bernie Ward the other day. How she was talking about how Bush said at after 9/11 that he was going to be a uniter, not a divider. And she said that now the country has not been more separate than any time that she's been around.
Well, that's true. And any time since I have been conscious of political issues, which goes back about 40 years, I would imagine. But, yeah, he said that during his campaign, George Bush and the Republican Party have turned the United States into a polarized camp of people on the left here, like myself, who absolutely despise and hate to the bottom of my feet Republicans and people on the right. The people on the right, I don't think, hate us lefties. I think they look at us with a combination of arrogance and pity and condescension. But George Bush has done more to separate the United States in a very broad sense of the word from the rest of the world, more so than anybody ever has in the history of the country.
And I do have an idea of a way to give us a better look on our side, you know, as in the way of, instead of making us more angrier around the world, what we should do is we should let people come into this country and see how great it is, and then that way when they come back, they can spread the word. Instead, what we do is we have things like Guantanamo Bay,
mm-hmm.
to where they pretty much just say, screw you, I don't care, we're going to arrest you for the rest of your lives,
yeah.
without charge. And this is what this country has gone to now.
Well, that's what the Bush crime family is all about, Dan. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal. Dan?
Yeah. Thanks. No problem.
Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. You have a nice evening. There was a propaganda effort. Does anybody besides me remember about, when was it, about a year ago, when we were told that a special ops division of, I don't know what, the State Department, they were going to start to, they hired some advertising executive to promote the image of the United States, especially in Middle Eastern or Arab countries, about how nice we really were. Whatever happened to that? Anybody know? Whatever happened to that campaign? Our tax dollars paid for it. Probably like everything else that the Bush administration touches, it turned to, it crumbled, or just became a soggy mass and dissolved. The Bush crime family blows its nose on everything that is holy in this country or everything that's sacrosanct in this country. From our military to our flag to our environmental laws to our economy, they just step up and snot all over it. They don't care. That's why they're Republicans. Oh, God. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? We have some sound for you. Coming back here in just a moment, the Italian president, not the prime minister, but the president, was in Bush's web today in his cave in the White House. And we got some sound from Bush while he spoke at the photo op. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
All the brick alive.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Is your home making you sick? A Canadian author recommends a checkup. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Angela Hobbs' excitement about her newly remodeled home in Ontario soon turned into frustration. The teacher and mother of two began to feel weak and confused, and at times she could barely get out of bed. 30 doctors could not figure out what was ailing Hobbs, but she noticed that she felt better when she was away from home. That led her to diagnose her own problem, a sick house. Hobbs defines a sick house as one where a combination of electromagnetic fields, chemicals, molds, and other toxins negatively affect at least one of the people living there. And she's written a book about it called The Sick House Survival Guide. It describes her experience with environmental illness and the actions she took to overcome it. Hobbs says her first order of business was to stop using chemical cleaners. She says we really don't know how household chemicals affect us, especially in combination with each other. She also got rid of unnecessary electrical devices which create electromagnetic fields in the home. Hobbs says the typical house is now buzzing with electricity, with electronic devices in every room, each of which gives off an electromagnetic field. Studies on electromagnetic effects on the human body are inconclusive. But Hobbs says it's wise to err on the safe side and limit your exposure to electrical devices and power sources. She shuts down unneeded circuits at night, especially in the bedrooms. Hobbs says if you're experiencing fatigue, confusion, or other symptoms that can't be explained, you should look at your home as a possible source of your illness. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Just got an article was sent to me here from by Jean, one of our Canadian correspondents. It's from the Independent of the UK. Schools. We were talking a little bit earlier about the demonstrations that are planned for the thug when he shows up on British soil. It's my understanding now that the Stop the War Coalition is they were predicting 50, 60,000. Now the numbers are starting to skew upwards. And schools, high schools we would call them here, are ready to crack down on pupils who miss classes next week, according to the Independent. Kids who miss classes to attend anti-war protests during Bush's three-day visit. The article says, despite warnings not to skip lessons, pupils are coordinating a series of what are being called school strikes using text messages and internet message boards. Some anti-war groups are urging pupils to walk out of school on Wednesday to protest against Bush's state visit at a rally in Parliament Square. They also hope pupils will attend the main demonstration the next day, which will culminate in a statue of Mr. Bush being toppled in Trafalgar Square. Yeah, I've been reading about that, similar to the the Saddam Hussein thing, only I will guarantee you that there will be a much bigger crowd and much lustier cheers when they topple the statue of George Bush than when the same occurred with Saddam Hussein. The politicians and head teachers, I guess that is equivalent to our principals, politicians and head teachers have condemned the anti-war groups as irresponsible and warned pupils that any unauthorized absences from school would be treated as truancy. Well, of course, you can't be anti-war. What the hell's wrong with you? You are white, you're in an English-speaking country. You're in the UK, and Tony Blair has become the poodle, the lapdog, the suck-up to George W. Bush, and we will have none of this in the UK. Students will remain where they are. The conservative education spokesman, Tim Collins, said, quote, it would be disgraceful if children were permitted or encouraged to leave lessons to attend this demonstration. would it, sir? He says anti-Americanism is not on the national curriculum, and if teachers are condoning this behavior, it is they, not the pupils, who should be looking for something else to do next week, end quote. Well, sure, conservatives in the UK are as venal and vile and filthy and as corrupt as conservatives in this country or conservatives in China or conservatives on Mars. You know, you're not supposed to condone or acknowledge peace. Jesus, what's wrong with you? You know, we're a Christian nation. We are about killing and murder and butchery. The Liberal Democrat education spokesman, Phil Willis, said, quote, it is not my job to support children taking time off school, but clearly the arrival of Mr. Bush at such an important time is an issue that is of interest to schools. If young people choose to attend these demonstrations, I hope that schools will look at that in a positive rather than a negative way. More than 10,000 school pupils attended protests this year in the run-up to the Iraq War. Some schools locked their gates in an attempt to keep the pupils on campus. And the British government of Tony Blair warned parents yesterday not to allow their children to miss school to attend the protests. Head teachers have threatened pupils with detention or suspension if they don't show up for the lessons. Yeah. Can you imagine what's happening? Orwell is buried in England, isn't he? One 16-year-old, Verity Marriott is her name. She's an organizer for Schools Against the War, which is part of the Stop the War Coalition, said, I think it's really important for people to express their opposition to the war. She added, students will gain an awful lot from going on the demo. Education is not just about sitting in lessons. I'm going to be missing a politics lesson on Thursday to be part of the protest. And I think I'll learn far more at the demonstration than by being in school. And Michael Higgs, who is 15, plans to skip lessons. He said, quote, my parents are pleased. I have got a political mind and I am speaking out. I am against the war and I am against George Bush's state visit to London. Well, that's good. That's good. And I'm sure that children in our country, high school kids in our country, don't they also protest against this pig and this, the pig's policies, the destruction, the killing, the slaughter, the ugliness, don't they? There are active high school students in the United States, are there not? I'm sure there are. Dave is calling from Royal Oak, Michigan. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Mike, it seems to me America is the flagship for destruction of civilization as we know it.
Boy, it looks that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. And if 52% of the people do support George Bush and the media and the majority of the government, it seems to me then if those poll numbers are true,
mm-hmm.
and that reality is true, then we are choosing, the majority of us, we're choosing destruction.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. George Bush was elected. He was not elected, but he got 50 million votes. And obviously, those 50 million Americans had had enough of peace, prosperity, jobs, turning back environmental destruction, cleaning up water, reducing teenage pregnancies, reducing sexually transmitted diseases, reducing abortions. They had enough. So they decided to put, you know, we had 8 years of that. They had enough of this country getting out of debt. They had enough of balanced budgets. Excuse me?
Define they had enough?
They, the 50 million people who voted for George Bush. They said, well, you know, why should we continue with prosperity and peace and moving in the right direction? Let's go back to killing and destruction and death and murder and mayhem and blood and unemployment and environmental degradation, environmental destruction. We want George Bush back. Now, you can draw any one of a number of conclusions from that, Dave. The conclusion I choose to draw is that we are grossly, monstrously stupid and ignorant in this country.
Is it religion that they're choosing? Is it because
that's part of it? We are so caught in the sick, filthy evangelical Christian garbage. You know, we have cloud beings dictating a policy. George Bush says God tells him to go kill people, and he does it. That's the same thing God told Moses to do, or Joshua to do. And religion is part of it. The fundamental evangelical Christianity is a bloody, destructive, sick, perverted, psychotic mindset, and George Bush is one of the leading spokesmen for that kind of craziness.
Is there any hope?
Good question.
Turn from this path.
Good question. Can you get back to me on it?
I have no answer.
I have no answer to that.
All right.
I have no answer.
All right. I can get back to you.
Is there
the rest of the world chose to not be led down this path? In other words, what if they looked at this flagship of destruction as something not to pull behind in the wake of, but to say, well, that's a crazy ship out there?
I don't think that the rest of the world has any say about it any longer. We are the 100-foot-tall, 5-million-pound monster that strides the earth. We are the colossus.
Through the productivity and work of the American people. I mean, all of this colossal destruction, it's our metal, it's our steel, it's our technology, it's our hours and hours spent researching faster weapons, GPS, blah, blah, blah.
Well, right. But what we've done, we've taken our creativity and our productivity, and we've allowed it to be manipulated and placed it in the hands of people who are truly insane. And the rest of the world knows this. Nobody is going to across the United States. China may make some little saber-rattling comments here and there, but, China will not be ready to destroy the United States for probably another 30 years, and China eventually will have to destroy the United States, and, of course, we will have to respond, and that will be the end of civilization probably as we know it. But with any luck, speaking strictly from my point of view, I will be dead and gone by then. Of course, my children and grandchildren will still be alive, and that grieves me.
Yeah, I choose not to have children. We are responsible.
Yes.
To a certain extent.
Well, no, totally. We're totally responsible. We are allowing ourselves to be led by madmen. I've said it for 2 years. I don't understand. I do not have an answer. I do not understand. It is mysterious and occult and weird. I don't understand why the American public continues to allow this to go on.
You know, I don't take part in any religion, but it seems to me if you took a Christian point of view, we are the devil. Who's the bad guy here?
Well, I would think. I think if you take any religious philosophy, and they all structure things so that they're the good guys and the bad guys. You know, they're the cloud beings and the under the earth dwellers. And I think if you take any religious discipline and start moving the pieces around a little bit, the United States, under this government's leadership, comes off as satanic. There's no question. We're destroying everything. We're killing people. We are offering up our own for sacrifice to the sick, sick, perverted Bush administration. I think you're absolutely right. Hey, listen, Dave, got to move on. Thank you, sir.
Kathy, good job with the music.
Yeah, she's nodding her head furiously. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you checking in. Jake is calling from San Antonio, Texas. Jake, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello, Mike.
I detect a British accent.
Yeah, that's right. I was listening to your the topic of the evening, which seemed to be Bush's visit to England, and I certainly wish that that kind of activism was around when I was in school,
mm-hmm.
encouraging kids to skip class.
Well, let me guess. You probably went to school during the Thatcher era.
I certainly did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a discouraged back then, wasn't it?
It was pretty grim.
Yes, it was.
Grim was the word. But I wanted really to talk about the. You said earlier that British conservatives are just as vile as American conservatives. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that entirely, but really, British conservatives now are pretty much a joke, whilst U.S. conservatives are one of the most terrifying forces on the planet at the moment.
I guess that you base that on the fact that this vast liberal/labor coalition that Tony Blair represents has pretty much annihilated the so-called conservative party in the UK. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. It's questionable whether they even have a future as a party. I mean, they just recently had a leadership vote of confidence, voted out there. The recent leader and voted in Michael Howard, who is a stalwart of the Thatcher years and the Major government. He was Home Secretary under Major. And
well, you know, your point is well spoken and well taken on this end, because you're absolutely right. Conservatives in the UK used to be a much more formidable force than they are now. I as you were talking, I remember some of the things I have read in the past 6, 8 months or a couple of years about this this vast coalition that Tony Blair has put together under the Labour Party, and which is the reason he's still in office, it's my understanding. Had this been, say, 20 years ago, Tony Blair would have been had a vote of no confidence, and there would have been a new government formed.
Right. Well, that was the formation of New Labour, or calling it New Labour, and really shifting a lot of the policies towards the centre, which actually took a lot of the conservative policies.
Right, same as what Bill Clinton did in this country.
Right.
Yeah.
But it also, it was, I think, partly to do with their current situation is the investigative journalism that went on during the 90s with papers like The Guardian and the string of scandals, like the Cash for Questions scandal with Neil Hamilton. Jonathan Aitken, who is a conservative minister who was imprisoned for basically, basically on the lines, he was pimping for foreign dignitaries.
Right, I remember that story. It was just incredible.
And more recently...
Importing women from Eastern Europe or Russian girls to...
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
Oh, it was just that sounds like something Tom DeLay or Newt Gingrich or some of these other phony religious-ass thugs in this country would do. What has you in San Antonio, Texas, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I'm half American, and I've been over here for about 5 years. Came over right at the height of the Lewinsky scandal, I guess.
I see.
And you know, it seems like I'm somewhat doomed to live under right wing.
No matter where you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a year of the Labour government over there, and then came over here.
Right, right.
But anyway, first time caller, and just wanted to say that I really enjoy your show. I've only been listening for about a month, but I think it's fantastic. You're a breath of fresh air.
Well, thanks, Jake. I appreciate it. I hope you're going to call again.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care. Oh, we have Brother Sky. Oh, gosh, I don't want to take him right now because we only have about a minute left in this segment, don't we? No, we don't even have that. We'll see what we can do with Brother Sky calling from Memphis, Tennessee, when we come back.
In the dark zone. TV. Remember.
dog is out.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williamson. I hope you will join me for Friday's show. My guest is Dr. Cynthia Jacobs-Carter. She's the author of Africana Woman, Her Story Through Time. Let's have a marvelous conversation about the past, the present, and the future of a magnificent group of women.
All day, all night, Marianne, down by the seaside, sipping sand.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Huh?
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, you always ask, you know, if there are any knuckle-dragging Republicans that would be intelligent enough to call in to defend the Bush record.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to amend that and ask all the asinine Democrats who voted for Bush in the last election and the 25% that are still for Bush, I'd like to ask them to defend their support for the president.
Uh-huh.
I would like to hear a Democrat calling in to tell you why they support the president. Now then, I want to talk about, about Bush's visit to England.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that the British conservatives are as asinine.
But I was corrected on that. You heard the caller from Texas who is a British mm-hmm. citizen. I was maybe you were away from your computer. I got corrected on that.
Well, no. What I would say about that, would you be referring to Tony Blair when you talk about the British conservatives who are as vile as a
Well, Blair, like Clinton, you know, I've said before, Clinton was the best Republican president this country ever had, and Blair is that third way that that's all huddle in the center. That and apparently the Brits have appreciated that to the same extent that the Americans appreciated Clinton. I mean, you can't argue. Well, you can. I can. We can argue with the idea that Tony Blair or Bill Clinton perverted liberalism, but it seemed to work.
It seems that it doesn't work.
Well, wait, Joe. When I say it seems to work, I don't mean it really works. I mean that people assume that it works. We have been losing jobs in this country for a long time. NAFTA and GATT and all this other stuff that Clinton.
I was referring to Tony Blair in England.
Yeah, well, both. They both adopt the same policy, though. The same foreign policy, same economic policy, same environmental policy, although I think Blair is a little bit less destructive than Bush.
I was specifically referring to Tony Blair's support for this asinine war, which I guess 75-80% of the people, whatever, there in England were against. He went ahead and went to war anyway. So apparently the people over there in England are a hell of a lot smarter than we are over here. I don't understand, though, why, if they are smarter than us, why they haven't gotten around to kicking Tony Blair's ass out of office. I don't know why it's taken so long.
That's a good question. Maybe somebody in the UK will call in and answer. Joe, thanks. We're out of time. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The commission investigating the September 11th terror attack said on Thursday that its deal with the White House for access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports would let the White House edit the documents before they were released to the commission's representatives. In its statement, the victim's family group, the Family Steering Committee, said the agreement would prevent a full uncovering of the truth and is unacceptable. All 10 commissioners should have full, unfettered, and unrestricted access to all evidence, including but not limited to all presidential daily briefings. Administration officials have acknowledged that they are concerned that intelligence reports received by Mr. Bush in the weeks before 9-1-1 might be construed to suggest that the White House failed to respond to evidence suggesting that Al-Qaeda was planning a catastrophic attack. The White House acknowledged last year in response to news reports that a copy of the daily brief in August 2001 noted that Al-Qaeda might use hijacked planes in an attack. President Bush said yesterday he would meet the families of British soldiers who have been killed in Iraq during next week's state visit. He also made it clear he would do his best to bolster the Prime Minister's political standing at the same time. He told the Press Association he would meet the families of British victims of September 11th and of the 54 British soldiers killed in Iraq who died in a noble cause. Mr. Bush has yet to attend a single funeral of any American soldier killed in Iraq. An American general leading military efforts in Iraq will reestablish his headquarters in Qatar, reflecting what he described as a sense of urgency in the face of increasing attacks on U.S. and allied troops there. General John Abizid, head of U.S. Central Command, said resistance forces in Iraq number no more than 5,000, despite a CIA intelligence finding of 50,000 insurgents. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay has organized a charity that benefits abused and neglected children and the Republican Party, the New York Times reports. The newspaper said potential donors were being asked to give up $500,000 to spend time with DeLay at the GOP convention in New York City next year. DeLay's office said most of the funds collected will go to the children, but money from the charity will also be used to pay for GOP yacht cruises, convention parties, and a luxury suite.
More news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your
highway police in Madrid, Spain, stopped a driver they believed was using his cell phone, but the driver maintained he was just scratching his ear. The driver showed the two officers that the last call from his phone went out the night before. The duo huddled, then came back and fined him $70 anyway. The charge they leveled against the motorist, driving while holding his ear with his right hand in a permanent fashion. Spain's new Don't Scratch and Drive campaign kicks off next week.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Is anything going to be real in our world, or is everything to be simulated reality created by profit-seeking corporations? Already we have Disneyland's plastic imitations of quaint European villages. We have dairy creamers that contain no cream and don't come from dairies. We have pets that are not actual animals but pre-programmed robots. We have kids playing baseball on handheld computers instead of out on a baseball field. And now, even the small sensory joys in our lives are no longer real, but instead are synthetic replications. Take the pleasure of buying a new car and inhaling that new car smell. Is it real or is it nuance? Cadillac has revealed that it now imbues each of its vehicles with an artificial scent called Nuance that was created in a chemistry lab by a company that specializes in, quote, aroma quality management. Leather seats? No need to go to that expense, for the company can make a plastic covering that, it claims, feels and smells more like leather than leather. That's only the start of fake fragrances in automobiles. An executive of this smell-simulating company says, "We believe there is growth potential in people wanting to be in this big, burly SUV with rich walnut, and they want it to smell like wood." So, now they've got a wood perfume for SUVs, which is necessary, since even real wood paneling is lacquered and doesn't have an actual wood smell. Then there's a car's sound. Remember the great sensual rumble of old Fords? Well, now they're back. Not for real, but thanks to an artificial sound system. Ford used computers and focus groups to come up with a classic rumbling sound, and then it hired a company to install a system of resonators, so Ford's new pickup trucks artificially rumble like an old V8. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the brave new world of marketing, no need to experience reality, just fake it.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there.
Yeah, welcome back. 7 past the hour. Thank goodness it's Friday, huh? 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Brother Sky Blue joins us from Memphis. Actually, a little more specific, from Beale Street in Memphis. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy. You know, a lot of people have a hard time believing that Jesus Christ is not coming in the clouds of the sky blue, but he's coming in the form of a new volume of written books called The Writings of Emanuel Swedenborg. Let me make two or three quick corners here, Mike, and then I'll bottom line with old Emanuel. This lady that was trying to say that this most usually Kobe Bryant. All right, Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I hate to say things like it's over radio, especially since this is a family program, but you know that the first great lie is what? The check's in the mail.
Uh-huh.
And the second great lie is, I think if you look into that one, that you'll find out that that's what so upset this poor lady that she had to file charges against Kobe. All right, let's make a quick turn here. First of all, let me...
I'm glad you were very oblique about that, so let's move right on.
Let's move right on. Yes, let me give you one little short bar here to let people know that not only am I the greatest preacher in the world, I'm also the greatest living blues musician.
Oh, stop.
that make you want to go to Beale Street, man?
Oh, yeah, it does that.
Okay, Mike. Now, the second problem here we have is this Rush Limbaugh. He just got out of this Robert Treat Jones golf and rehab retreat, you know?
Yes, he did.
Well, and these, I want to tie that in with this Gary Ridgway, the man that the Green River Killer that supposedly murdered
48, 50 women?
Yeah, they were nobody's people. They were druggies, crackheads.
Prostitutes.
Yeah, right. You see, this prohibition on drugs is a farce. It's creating more crime and murder than the drugs themselves.
It is indeed.
Okay, well, now let's talk about our young suffragettes here in America. Oh, well, they think, well, we're going to advance in our career. We're not going to have any children till we're 40 years old and stuff. You see, now the hammer's done slammed. Ojibwe done signed the bill on this partial birth abortion, you know.
Right.
But as I've said before here in your program, as exemplified in the Bible by the creation of Adam, he was formed, and then when God blew into his nostrils the breath of life, then he became a living soul.
That's
so,
true.
You know, that's not the best, most beautiful thing to talk about, but that's one lie. These poor fundamentalist yokels, you know, you get a kick out of what holding their hands up in there, and yeah, the preacher will say something. He'll say, come on, and I'll give him a hand clap. Say, oh, yeah, he's a wise one. He's so smart about these preachers they got on this TBN network. I call it the Karaoke Jesus Network. You know, they got all their stars up there singing these karaoke hymns.
That's fun to watch, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they said how the handicapped are fun to watch. But, you know, these fundamentalist Christians are to be pitied because these religious monopolies that own, like, this Trinity Channel and all these religious broadcasters, they kept their minds brainwashed, and they're using this influx of African Americans into a dumbing down of Christian theology. You know, I'm not a racist at all, but I say that these these poor suffragette and these poor fundamentalist minority people that are struggling, the field of politics is not the only field of advancement that we can make. Martin Luther King, he never ran for political office. And that's where we stand at, Mike. It looks like here on 914. That's four.
Yes, it is. Brother Sky, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. Now, somehow that all tied into Rush coming out of rehab again. But Emanuel Swedenborg moves in mysterious ways his wonders to reveal. So, and besides, when Reverend Sky, or Brother Sky Blue preaches, you don't come over the top of it and add anything. You just sit back and marvel the same way you used to when you were a kid. And the 16, 17-year-olds in your neighborhood wore the cowboy boots with the little metal pieces on the heel, and every time they'd walk by, little sparks would fly, and you'd sit there and go, Lord, I want to be like that when I grow up.
I believe the word you're looking for is spurs.
No, I'm talking about those little metal things on the bottoms of the heels, Miss, correct me when I'm on the air, like taps, little, see, when I was 16, you weren't even, or when I was the age I'm telling the story about, you were not even a thought. You were still a little angel flying around in heaven somewhere, I guess. But no, we used to marvel at the sparks that would come up from those metal whatever the hell you called them on that the guys would wear on the heels of their boots, yeah, motorcycle boots, not cowboy boots. God, I was brought up in Ohio, motorcycle boots, and they'd walk by and sparks would fly. So you know, you'd sit there and marvel. Well, that's what you do with Brother Sky Blue. You just kind of sit back and marvel. Bill is calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Bill, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
I'm really happy to be calling in. And I want to thank you a lot for helping me clean my house.
Clean your house?
Yeah, well, I've turned off the TV, and I go from room to room and turn on the computer. And actually, I had three quick things. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, I'll get to the questions last, and I'll hang up.
All right.
The... The first thing is that the person that called in, it was kind of despondent about what's going on.
The first caller this evening, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty bummed out.
Yeah.
I live in Baptist Belt.
Yes, you do.
Yes. And what I'm finding is that when I utter a jaw hits the pavement kind of statement, you know, the wide-eyed thing, and I walk away, is what I find is people come up to me later and say, how'd you know that? Right. And, you know, I'm actually becoming a little bit more optimistic.
So that's yeah, okay, that's a good thing. Yukon, Oklahoma, is that anywhere near Broken Arrow?
It's about 80 miles from Broken Arrow.
Okay, because we have a bureau chief out in Broken Arrow, a man named Nelson. So Yukon, are you near a big city?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay.
Yeah. Broken Arrow, we aren't advanced enough to be close to Broken Arrow.
I see.
But as I understand, as our thoughts progress, the landscape will change. And
All right. Now, the next item that you have on
your agenda. The next. Actually, I'll just go right to the question. This trip to England, I know the press has been focusing mainly on the fact that Bush is going to get a picture with the Queen and sort of put that all up. And,
right.
You know, I hope he wears his flight suit, frankly, but I don't know how they got that rigged up. The question is on these First Amendment zones, which I've been following for a while. You know, and I'm thinking, well, if zone is a verb, then it kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's true. I as long as you don't use it as a noun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. You know, regarding Bush's trip, if he goes into the castle, I hope somebody tells him, or not in the castle, but Westminster, or wherever the hell the official resident is, somebody better tell him. I hope somebody tells him not to open the door to Prince Charles's room without knocking first.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of an embarrassment. But
Buckingham Palace, that's right. Thank you. My producer shrieks into my headphones.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah. Buckingham Palace. Yeah.
Actually, I say...
now, you had a question for me?
More power to you, Charles.
Yeah.
I had a question. And what I've been sort of puzzled by over a period of time is that we have the First Amendment zones here.
Right.
Which have been being challenged in the courts right now.
Yeah.
And the question is, why? Are they afraid that Bush, I mean, I know he's insulated, isolated, maybe a little leakage current there. I mean, he made a statement.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. This country is moving toward fascism and totalitarian fascism, and that precludes the idea of having the right to speak out. You know, I'm old enough, maybe you are too, Bill, to remember when the entire country was a First Amendment zone.
Yep.
It's not that way anymore. But when you move towards totalitarian fascism, the first thing you have to do is to begin the great lies, the big lies. And the second thing is to stifle any dissenting opinion. Whatever comes out of the leader's mouth is the word. Now, and I've also said this on this program, especially Americans, the Germans could do it, the Italians did it, the Spanish did it, but especially Americans can live under fascism, you see, because it's not, as long as they leave the death camp part out, but only the Germans did that because Hitler was a psychopath where it concerned Jews and people that he saw as inferior to his Aryan bloodstock. But the Italians didn't have death camps, nor did the Spanish. Of course, the Spanish had a war to deal with. And I don't think the Americans maybe ultimately will have death camps if the fundamentalist Christians get in control. But we'll be able to live. There's a huge percentage of Americans who would thrive under fascism because fascism, you really don't notice fascism unless you want to voice a dissenting opinion. Fascism is really corporatism. That's what Mussolini said. Call it what it is. It's corporatism, where the corporations run the government. Now, are we not 80% at that stage now anyway?
Oh, I think it's closer to 95%.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So living in a fascist state where we project U.S. military force in order to capture more markets, in order to capture more natural resources, and that will be cloaked as it has been, is being cloaked now as a patriotic move to go to foreign countries, invade them, and kill people, that we're fighting for democracy and freedom, which is a filthy lie. As you know, we are fighting for to steal another country's assets, regardless of what one of the Ten Commandments says about not coveting somebody else's ass or wife or goods. So George Bush is a filthy, murderous, Christ-killing hypocrite. He needs to be removed from office, but I don't. I wonder sometimes if he will be. You understand what I'm saying there, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm 100% with you. The question I have, the thing that makes me curious, is that is this guy such a hand puppet that they are, and with some sort of fearful backdrop that mm-hmm. his handlers are aware of, that they're afraid to let him be viewed, or actually they're afraid to let him view the public because he's going to jump off the podium and start strangling somebody.
That or vice versa. That's it exactly. Thank you, Bill. We got a boogie. I'm glad you called in. I hope you call again, sir. Thanks for checking in.
You must get an share, take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay. We've had some phone calls and some emails here about the metal things on the heels of people's shoes that were popular when I was a kid. And Gary emailed in heel plates, Mike. That's what they wore. Yeah, heel plates. And those were the bad boys. Gary writes, I thought you would have been a bad boy. I was. That's why I'm in a wheelchair now. I'm not sure what that means, Gary, but I just funny the way you wrote it. A lot of people said cleats. No, it's not cleats. Cleats, you can still see cleats. That's what's on the bottom of golf shoes. They kind of dig in and, you know, destroy the grass, you know, all those points on the bottom of shoes. I had cleats when I played high school football, but this was these were heel plates. Gary's right, heel plates. I just thought they were so cool. I really did. When I was 10, 11 years old and the 16, 17-year-olds would walk by, their motorcycle jackets and their boots and their long, black, greasy hair, or blonde, greasy hair. I said, man, I want to be like that when I grow up. Lori is calling from Savannah, Georgia. Hey, Lori.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I've heard you have been involved with the protests at the School of the Americas before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been there twice. My former colleague on this network, Peter Werby, goes there every year, and he comes all the way from Detroit to do it. I'm a bit ashamed because I live here in Atlanta, and I haven't gone down every single year. And I've also interviewed Father Bourgeois about the School of the Americas Watch.
Yeah, he's an incredible man.
Yes, indeed.
And it is coming up the weekend before Thanksgiving. This year, Pete Seeger is going to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the nun, I can't come up with her name, but she did Dead Men Walking.
Sister Val, I know who you mean. She's from New Orleans, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so can we talk you into coming again this year?
I have to work is the problem.
Oh, you have to work on
yeah.
the weekend.
Oh, it's on the weekend?
It's on the weekend. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's Saturday and Sunday.
That's next weekend.
Well.
Right?
Yeah, actually, yes.
I don't know. I honestly do not know if I could make the trip. I might be able to.
Yeah, do you think you could get in touch with, like, Father Bourgeois again and interview him and promote people and encourage people to come to this issue?
I don't know how to get in touch with him. If anybody out there does.
I think I can call you back maybe and get the number. I don't have it, like, I don't want to give it over the air or right now, but, yeah.
Sure. If you have, a matter of fact, I could put you on hold.
I'd have to, you know, my husband has it, not me.
Okay.
And he's going to, but, yeah, I'll. You know.
We'll call back and give it to Kathy, a way to contact him, and we'll certainly do it because the last time I spoke with him was when we were in Chicago. It's been a long time. And
incredible. I mean, but we need to tell people what the School of the Americas is, maybe
right.
because a lot of people might not know that this was the place that Manuel Noriega
uh-huh.
came from.
Right. It's where all the death squads in Central America were trained.
It is our own American terrorist training.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
And
in the meantime, people can go to School of the Americas Watch website.
You just do SOAW.org.
.org. And you'll get all the information you could possibly want. I find it astonishing that there's anybody left in this country who doesn't understand about School of the Americas, although they've changed the name, at Fort Benning, which is down here in Columbus, Georgia, because it is a terrorist training camp. It's where we train people to go back to their home countries and commit torture, murder, rape, arson, and we pay for it. The United States mm-hmm. taxpayer pays for it.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Well, see what you can do with that phone number, Lori, and call us back.
Oh, I certainly will.
Thank you. All right, you take care.
Without the could be and the might have been, all you got left is your fragile skin. high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Is your home making you sick? A Canadian author recommends a checkup. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Angela Hobbs' excitement about her newly remodeled home in Ontario soon turned into frustration. The teacher and mother of two began to feel weak and confused, and at times she could barely get out of bed. 30 doctors could not figure out what was ailing Hobbs, but she noticed that she felt better when she was away from home. That led her to diagnose her own problem, a sick house. Hobbs defines a sick house as one where a combination of electromagnetic fields, chemicals, molds, and other toxins negatively affect at least one of the people living there. And she's written a book about it called The Sick House Survival Guide. It describes her experience with environmental illness and the actions she took to overcome it. Hobbs says her first order of business was to stop using chemical cleaners. She says we really don't know how household chemicals affect us, especially in combination with each other. She also got rid of unnecessary electrical devices, which create electromagnetic fields in the home. Hobbs says the typical house is now buzzing with electricity, with electronic devices in every room, each of which gives off an electromagnetic field. Studies on electromagnetic effects on the human body are inconclusive. But Hobbs says it's wise to err on the safe side and limit your exposure to electrical devices and power sources. She shuts down unneeded circuits at night, especially in the bedrooms. Hobbs says if you're experiencing fatigue, confusion, or other symptoms that can't be explained, you should look at your home as a possible source of your illness. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. You ought to switch on MSNBC right now. This unindicted killer, Joe Scarborough, is sitting out in the lawn someplace, and he's got James Woolsey is sitting there with him, and the turncoat, Zell Miller, allegedly a Democrat, Lindsey Graham, from South Carolina, and they're sitting there talking about if we don't fight the terrorists in the streets of Baghdad, we'll have to fight them in the streets of America. It's astonishing to watch this. MSNBC, with the exception of Keith Olbermann's show, it's just Fox Lite. That's all it is. But there they all sit. Seriously, switch on MSNBC, y'all, and take a look at these four dunces. I don't know. I don't know where in the hell we live, Kathy. We are just, I don't know. Liz is calling from near Houston, Texas. Hey, Liz.
Well, listen, Mike. Yep. this afternoon, Bush was doing his little thing he does in the Rose Garden, honoring the National Guard.
Yeah.
And I don't normally pay any attention to him, but I was walking through the den, and it was on. And when he said National Guard, I stopped and listened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I thought to myself, if Mike hears that, he will go completely ballistic tonight.
I guess I missed it.
He went on, you know, how wonderful the Guard was, thanking them all for their service, thanking their wives, thanking their husbands, thanking everybody. And it was such a commitment to the Guard. That people, when people went into it, they were committed to their service.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Liz. Good thing I didn't hear that, or I would have a broke TV.
And then listen to this. Then he's ranting and raving, you know, all about their how dedicated they all were and how important it was. And then he said, and some of our presidents have been National Guardsmen.
Oh, my God.
He said Harry Truman was the whatever number he was.
Right.
And he said, and of course the 43rd president. And
referring to himself.
Yes. I thought I wanted to throw up.
What a pig. What a pig.
And
what a disgusting, disgusting man.
You know what they ought to do? The Democrats ought to play that soundbite all the time.
Yeah, that's
of him claiming his, and then have an ad under it saying AWOL under it.
Well, he's a liar. Kathy has a soundbite where he maybe you can find it, Kathy, where he says what I learned in Vietnam. I'm sure Kathy's looking
for it. Yeah, I've heard
that. Yeah.
Yeah, what he learned.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and
he has more gall than any human I have ever witnessed.
Isn't that the truth?
And then I don't know if you've heard today that they took a poll in London. This made my day. They took a poll in London and asked the British, do you want Bush to come or not? Mike, 90% said no.
Yeah.
90%.
Yeah. Well, of course, that doesn't matter because the weasel is going to go over there for for his photo op with the Queen anyway.
Yeah, which was all set up by the ambassador over there that was in business with old Prescott and making money on the German, with the Germans.
With the Nazis, yeah. It's a sick.
Well, when that happened, I told my husband, I said, listen, I can't wait till tonight. But I said, I told my husband, your blood pressure goes so high.
Well, I'm glad I didn't see it because, I think that was right at the point we were washing the pickup truck. And thank God I wasn't in the house to see it because.
Well, I could not believe it. How he would have the gall.
Yeah, I know.
When he was AWOL for more than a year.
Well, his middle name is Gall.
Well, I guess so.
Liz, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your call. I don't know how Liz was able to stand it, frankly. Have you got that soundbite? Play that for us, Kathy.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confide a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
You little lion snot. Oh, you little punk. In the first place, the closest you've come to Vietnam is Alabama. And the second place is what the hell... are you doing in Iraq? Oh, never mind. Never mind. What's the point? Pete's calling from Lakeland, Florida. Pete, welcome to the program.
Hey there. I didn't even have to watch MSNBC to bring up this subject.
Yeah?
Zell Miller. Okay, now, I'm pretty disgusted over the Zell Miller deal. But let me tell you, Daschle and all these Democrats, don't they understand Zell Miller and Tom DeLay are the same guy?
Yeah.
In two parties. And the Democrats are such wussies. Fox News is using Zell like crazy. Now MSNBC is. They're pimping this guy over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like crazy. And why Daschle couldn't say, okay, you want to be like this, Zell? Strip him of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, God, he shouldn't have any committee assignments. Dump his staff. Anything that they can do. Because Zell Miller, I mean, he's like having five... who's the guy from Connecticut? Lieberman's running against.
Zell is disgusting. I like I said, I used to be a Zell Miller supporter back in the late 70s, early 80s. I thought Zell was a pretty good guy. I don't know what has happened to him. He's become a turncoat. He's a traitor. He's just a disgrace. And I can't believe that, you know, Zell's a former Marine. And I think I'm not sure if he's ever been in a combat situation or not, but I know he was in the Marine Corps. And it's incredible to me that Zell, who one would think that if you're in a Marine unit, that means you're in a fighting unit, that Zell would understand the futility of what we're doing. And I in Iraq, and I just heard this unconscionable bastard sitting there with the unindicted killer Joe Scarborough saying. Zell said, if we don't fight him in Iraq, we're going to have to fight him in the streets of America. Jesus Christ, isn't that what they said? They said that about the Nicaraguans. They said that about the Vietnamese. And now they're saying it about the Iraquis.
Oh, and with
or the terrorists or something.
I think Zell's going to propose to Ashcroft that we start building the concentration camps.
Mm.
And honestly, God, and with the media that we have in the U.S. today, hey, no big deal here. You know, so-and-so rushed for 120 yards would lead the front pages of the paper.
That's true.
I mean, my God, like the Patriot Act. Now I'm hearing all these congressmen and senators saying, oh, we've got to stop it, we've got to stop it. Who's put legislation in, why isn't it moving to repeal the whole damn thing?
Mm, that's right. We don't need it. It's an infringement on constitutional rights. I don't understand that either, Pete. Get rid of the whole thing. But they're not going to. The Democrats are not, because they're cowards.
Well, I think the Democrats, you know, Kerry's out of the picture, Gephardt's out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a number of talk shows debating that, oh, it's the war that's killing Kerry. It's the war. Well, and everybody's saying, well, you know, all the politicians wanted it. Well, that's because the media wanted it.
Yeah.
Any politician that didn't have guts,
right.
And now we know that Kerry didn't have guts.
That's right.
But the media were the biggest cheerleaders for this war. They're the ones who, amazingly enough, can ask Bill Clinton about the sex life on and on, but nobody wants to talk about 1972. And now all these soldiers that are deserting, hey, you know, when you bring your first witness in, call the President of the United States. How'd you get off a whole year, man? They're throwing me in the brig for 30 days.
Right, yeah. And your reference to 1972 is the year that Bush became a deserter.
Yeah, and what's amazing is, like, the Canadian papers and stuff, they're having a field day with this.
Right.
You go into the U.S. media. I mean, Brian Lamb on C-SPAN, there's only two subjects he's terrified of. Marijuana, because you'll bring the drug czar on all the time, and the drug czar gets hammered 98-2 on calls calling him an idiot.
Right.
And then Brian Lamb will never, ever bring in somebody from normal after that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the issues. Just like, you know, C-SPAN, when this first started coming out about 1972, oh, we're going to have a show on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been almost a year. C-SPAN, you know, they've done the research. They know something's fishy. They know who's running the cable companies. And, you know, and where the cable companies are giving the cash for, they don't want to rock this boat.
No, because if they do, C-SPAN will be dropped from the cable of the company suppliers, or the, whatever you call them.
Yeah, but here's my other big question is, why have none of the presidential candidates, even Dennis Kucinich, why haven't they called on George in that war record, that missing year now that we're in combat?
I don't know. The only thing I can come up with, Pete, is tradition in this country to hands off when one of our great leaders is leading us in a great and glorious war for the defense of the fatherland, or bringing democracy to the uneducated masses around the world.
Well, and what's really scary about it, too, is that may be. But, you know, if he gets another 4 years, you know, Iran's on the table. Anything with oil.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, another war. And
sure.
Our media is fine. You know, some of the print people are asking some of the tougher questions now, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we can poll CNN, who's got to throw in BS questions in a debate because it's getting too testy because they're talking about real issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this continues to go on. I mean, the world knows they're a laughing stock, but even the U.S. people are starting to question this stuff.
I hope that's the case.
Hey,
I hope that's the case.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate your call. Let's join MSNBC right now very quickly, because this psychopathic Christian, Judge Roy Moore, former Judge Roy Moore, is talking on the Scarborough program. Let's see what he's got to say. Kathy, bring it up.
And the United States Constitution, First Amendment. And indeed, the judge in this case, the federal district judge himself, is bound by that rule of law. When he departs from its meaning, he enters an unlawful order, which I am not sworn to uphold. I am sworn to uphold the rule of law, the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alabama, both of which acknowledge God.
Judge, do you feel like you were betrayed by the governor of Alabama, my good friend Bob Riley, and also by the Attorney General of Alabama?
Well, let's just say this. Our Constitution says the justice system of this state is established invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God. When an unelected judge who is in office for life comes into the state of Alabama in violation of the 10th Amendment and tells us that our justice system can't be established on God, he violates the Constitution he's sworn to uphold. He enters an unlawful order. Now, if the officials of this state wish to interpret it so that they'll just obey anything a judge says, then I wonder what they, what order they wouldn't obey.
All right, get this pig off my air, okay? Oh, God. God, I hate these people. Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, except with all the news I've been hearing.
Yeah, I understand.
You know how we've been jokingly talking about Canada as a refuge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I switched over. Tonight's one of the few nights when I can stay home and watch television because I'm out working most of the rest of the week.
Right.
And I was watching the new leadership conference to replace Jean Chrétien up in Canada.
Right.
And this Paul Martin that's going to be taking over. It sounds kind of scary because he says he wants to work more with Bush.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're going to increase their defense spending. And
oh, no.
It's just like...
Well, there's got to be a place, someplace, Clint. I don't know. Australia always sounded good, but they have a right winger down there. New Zealand, I don't think New Zealand would allow me in because I'm too old. As far as the British Isles are concerned, maybe someplace in Wales, or maybe I could... use my name, the Irish part, and go to Ireland and say, "Hi, it's Michael Malloy." You know, I don't know.
I have a couple of friends in Wales, so maybe I can go over there.
Well, on the other hand, probably what we ought to do is stay here and resist and fight and get our country back.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you, I've noticed the last few nights because I flip over, you know, I'm listening over the internet while I'm at work, and then I flip over to WSDS, in the last 4 or 5 nights, I've noticed that they're not having your show on. They're playing Tom Hartman's show from the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I just wanted to...
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. It is difficult to get this particular radio program on any station. I'm too abrasive. I'm too abrupt. I use language sometimes that is not what program directors would like to have put out there. And I am absolutely committed to attacking the Bush crime family every chance I get. And it's amazing to me how many stations will either preempt this program, drop this program, call IE America and say we don't want the Malloy Show anymore, even though the people listen. Everybody listens. I had the same problem in Chicago when I worked for ABC. I had the most listened to program in Chicago at night, with one exception, and that was the so-called urban music station that a lot of people have on all the time. But and I ran into an absolute firestorm with ABC and WLS because of what I was saying even back then. So I'm not surprised. Eventually, the program I do will be ended. And I understand that. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I wonder about the Sirius satellite. Are they?
Well, they've got sports until February. But I think they rebroadcast, don't they, Kathy? They play it at midnight or something. They play the whole 3 hours. So if people want to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning in the East, that's fun.
Yeah.
If people want to listen to a recorded show, that's fun. It sucks, but that's just the way it goes. That's the way it's always been, and I've managed to eke out a living over a 20-year period almost in radio, but it's always been that way.
I wonder if WSDS is maybe, you know, tape delaying your show and putting it on later.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But eventually they won't have it. So they ought to put it out there now and build up some of their listenership because eventually they will not have the program to broadcast or to preempt.
The one last thing is in London, in the protests coming up in London on Monday, that sounds like that's going to be pretty interesting, doesn't it?
It does. I hope it is massive. I hope it makes a point, and I hope it scares the hell out of George W. Bush. Thanks, Clint.
Okay, take care.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening.
Which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylan's.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Mike Malloy Show.
Light Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming up after the break at the top of the hour, we'll have some of these weird quotes from Bush today and simple Scotty McClellan. Stick around for that if you can. Kelly is calling from Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I got to tell you, I got home a little late tonight, and I tuned in for you. I have to listen on the Internet.
Right.
And as soon as I turned it on and turned my speakers on, the first words out of my speaker was Bush's voice saying, "When I was in Vietnam."
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know.
That stuff drives me nuts.
I know.
How can the Democrats let him get away with
that? How can media let him get away with that?
I mean, think about all the stuff Clinton did, or even Gore, if he even had a slip of the tongue. I mean, they would jump all over him. I mean, we should be on top of this like no tomorrow. And even if you argue about his AWOL or desertion or whatever you want to call it, and you know they're going to cover themselves and fix the records and try to make it look good or whatever,
sure.
That statement is unmistakable. When I was in Vietnam.
Right.
He hasn't been anywhere.
No, he hasn't. And
I mean, I think he went to Mexico maybe once, not counting, you know, Tijuana drug runs, but...
Yeah, we're in a world of hurt. I don't know. I try to keep a good attitude about things turning around and sense and decency and justice coming back to this country. But that requires the removal of this entire Bush administration. And I don't know. There doesn't seem to be, Kelly, the popular support necessary to throw these bastards out of office. I don't know. We've got a year left. We'll know in a year whether or not this country is going straight ahead to fascism or whether or not there's still hope.
But if you let stuff like that slide, I mean, you're
sure.
Opening the door. I mean, obviously, all the photo op stuff from the the Lincoln or whatever.
Well, we try to keep it out there. But you're right. If you let that stuff slide, New York Times lets it slide. Washington Post, Atlanta Journal Constitution, papers in Alabama, everybody lets it slide.
Well, where are Democratic leaders in Washington, or even the rank and file? I mean, they should be as a group.
They're afraid of getting a Daschle letter. That would be something filled with anthrax, I guess. I don't know where our leadership, our Democratic Party leadership is. I have no idea. Have they become cowardly, or is it just a matter of survival? I don't know.
Well, I don't. Maybe that kind of leads in.
Well, let me put you
other
on,
thing I was concerned.
All right. Well, let me put you on hold, Kelly, and we'll pick it up right there as soon as we come back. Got a break here. Quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yet we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
President Bush said yesterday he would meet the families of British soldiers who have been killed in Iraq during next week's state visit. He also made it clear he would do his best to bolster the Prime Minister's political standing at the same time. He told the Press Association he would meet the families of British victims of September 11th and of the 54 British soldiers killed in Iraq who died in a noble cause. Mr. Bush has yet to attend a single funeral of any American soldier killed in Iraq. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay has organized a charity that benefits abused and neglected children and the Republican Party, the New York Times reports. The newspaper said potential donors were being asked to give up $500,000 to spend time with DeLay at the GOP convention in New York City next year. DeLay's office said most of the funds collected will go to the children, but money from the charity will also be used to pay for GOP yacht cruises, convention parties, and a luxury suite. The commission investigating the September 11th terror attack said on Thursday that its deal with the White House for access to highly classified Oval Office intelligence reports would let the White House edit the documents before they were released to the commission's representatives. In its statement, the victim's family group, the Family Steering Committee, said the agreement would prevent a full uncovering of the truth and is unacceptable. All 10 commissioners should have full, unfettered, and unrestricted access to all evidence, including but not limited to all presidential daily briefings. Administration officials have acknowledged that they are concerned that intelligence reports received by Mr. Bush in the weeks before 9-1-1 might be construed to suggest that the White House failed to respond to evidence suggesting that Al-Qaeda was planning a catastrophic attack. The White House acknowledged last year in response to news reports that a copy of the daily brief in August 2001 noted that Al-Qaeda might use hijacked planes in an attack. An American general leading military efforts in Iraq will reestablish his headquarters in Qatar, reflecting what he described as a sense of urgency in the face of increasing attacks on U.S. and allied troops there. General John Abizid, head of U.S. Central Command, said resistance forces in Iraq number no more than 5,000, despite a CIA intelligence finding of 50,000 insurgents.
More news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
When Roy Williamson hit a tee shot off the fairway, the lie turned out to be much rougher than he thought. Williamson, 60, was bitten in the head by a rattlesnake when he went to retrieve his ball from some wetlands. He said he picked up the ball and felt something scratch at his right temple as he stood up. He saw blood and then the rattler, a good 6.5 or 7 feet long. Doctors said the snake bit him twice. Williamson said he will play golf again, but will be much more careful.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, Someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Is anything going to be real in our world, or is everything to be simulated reality created by profit-seeking corporations? Already we have Disneyland's plastic imitations of quaint European villages. We have dairy creamers that contain no cream and don't come from dairies. We have pets that are not actual animals but pre-programmed robots. We have kids playing baseball on handheld computers instead of out on a baseball field. And now, even the small sensory joys in our lives are no longer real, but instead are synthetic replications. Take the pleasure of buying a new car and inhaling that new car smell. Is it real or is it nuance? Cadillac has revealed that it now imbues each of its vehicles with an artificial scent called Nuance that was created in a chemistry lab by a company that specializes in, quote, aroma quality management. Leather seats? No need to go to that expense, for the company can make a plastic covering that, it claims, feels and smells more like leather than leather. That's only the start of fake fragrances in automobiles. An executive of this smell-simulating company says, "We believe there is growth potential in people wanting to be in this big, burly SUV with rich walnut, and they want it to smell like wood." So, now they've got a wood perfume for SUVs, which is necessary since even real wood paneling is lacquered and doesn't have an actual wood smell. Then there's a car's sound. Remember the great sensual rumble of old Fords? Well, now they're back. Not for real, but thanks to an artificial sound system. Ford used computers and focus groups to come up with a classic rumbling sound, and then it hired a company to install a system of resonators, so Ford's new pickup trucks artificially rumble like an old V8. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the brave new world of marketing, no need to experience reality, just fake it.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We were talking with Kelly in Huntsville, Alabama. Kelly, thanks for holding on.
Yeah. We were just talking about how Bush said when I was in Vietnam.
Right.
And all about how we let things slide. And then you brought up Zell Miller,
mm-hmm.
which pretty much makes my blood boil. But I think that's another example of how we let things slide.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep putting up with this stuff, and then you end up with a problem like we have today with our good friend Zell. What is he doing now, endorsing Bush for president?
Yeah, he's become a Republican. All the Republicans are lining up to do for Zell now what Monica did for Bill Clinton, because they just love him to death. Here is a Democrat. At least he has a D after his name, and he is a senator, and they just love him to death. So there's just a huge line around the block of people who want to serve as Zell now.
Well, I'm to the point. I mean, we need to throw these people out of the party.
Yeah, we do.
I kind of hate to say that, but it's to the point where, particularly someone like Zell, you know, that's more damage than any kind of positives you could come up with.
It is. Of course, you know he's getting out of politics. This is his last year. So he's just lifting his leg and pissing all over the Democratic Party that gave him whatever Zell Miller is, the Democratic Party gave it to him. And for him to say, well, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, it left me, that is garbage. Because, you know, Zell Miller understands fully that so many Democrats here in the South, they became Republicans simply because the Democratic Party, well, like Lyndon Johnson said way back in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, when Lyndon Johnson said, we've just lost the South. You know as well as I do, because you live down here, Kelly, just like I do, that Southern white male Democrats who can't stand the idea of harmony and peace and justice and equality between the races, for the most part, have become Republicans. And Zell Miller feeds right into that. It was black people in the state of Georgia that elevated that son of a bitch every single time he ran for office. Black people flocked around him, gave him support, helped get him elected lieutenant governor for 16 years, governor for 8 years. And then he turns around like this and to the Democratic Party and puts a knife right in the shoulder, right between the shoulder blades. He's disgusting.
Well, I'm trying to think of ways to really basically take our party back. And I really hate to get on any kind of public internet or radio show and tell people to, you know, hold money back or funds back, you know, given to the Democratic Party. And you had a long break there. And I thought about it, and I think we should turn that around. And another way, rather than hold funds back, you know, trying to force the change of party, we should turn it around. Who was the Russian psychologist? Pavlov?
Pavlov, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they call them poodles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pavlov used dogs for reaction. Maybe we should have some sort of positive response. And instead of holding money back from the Democrats, we could start a fund where every time they speak up, we would pledge more money to them.
Well, there are candidates out there now who are struggling to, among the potential candidates for, well, not potential, they are candidates who are in the Democratic herd who are struggling to get their point of view across. They are liberal Democrats. They represent Democratic Party ideals. And the press is paying no attention to them. And, of course, the main one I'm talking about is Kucinich. Kucinich is everything that the Democratic Party used to be. Kucinich represents everything that the Democratic Party, Progressive Party, liberals have done to make this country great. And he's, what, he's got 1 or 2% of, every time the polling comes out, it says 1 or 2%. I don't know what to tell you. It may be time, Kelly, to just realize that the game is lost and to make adjustments around that idea. I like the idea of positively reinforcing people who support Democratic ideals. But, you know, you and I would probably be lucky to put together $1,000.
Well, I don't know. And they do respond to money. And look what Dean has done. I mean, you know, they really kind of snickered at
okay,
it
but
at
Dean,
first.
All right, but Dean, as much as I respect what he's done, Dean is not a liberal. Dean is a very conservative a Democrat. He's in kind of in the Clinton mode, I should say, not mold. And I've got no problem with Howard Dean not being a liberal Democrat, but he is not. He simply is not. All you have to do is look at what he talks about, look at his record in Vermont, and I'm not saying it's a bad record at all. I'm not saying anything negative about Howard Dean, because there's a very good chance he's going to be the Democratic Party nominee. If he is, I will bust my ass to see that he's elected. I will do everything that I possibly can if he's the Democratic nominee to see that he gets elected. But he is not a liberal. And if the heart of the Democratic Party is liberalism, then that's Dennis Kucinich. That's just the reality. I'm not trying to get into a debate or an argument with anybody. I don't want to attack anybody's candidate. I don't want to support anybody's candidate. I've made my feelings real clear on this program early on about who I was going to support and how long I would support him. And that's Dennis Kucinich until such time as he is forced out because somebody else has the nomination. But anybody in this country, I don't care where they live, north, south, on the coasts, red states, blue states, matters not. If there's anybody out there who says, well, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I wish we could get the Democratic Party back, and the soul of the Democratic Party, and yada, 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 I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry if it caused an argument, but that man is Dennis Kucinich. And I, you know, like I say, I will support Howard Dean. I swear to God I will. But Dennis Kucinich represents that thing that you are talking about. Hey,
right.
Kelly, got a boogie. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
All right, appreciate your call. Rick in Bellingham, Washington, sent this in. Mike, the problem with Bush's Vietnam comment is the same problem as with all other Bush lies. It's not technically a lie. He doesn't state explicitly that he fought in Vietnam during the conflict. He alludes nebulously to having been in Vietnam and what he learned there. That could mean anything. He may have gone there in the 80s and learned a few words of Vietnamese. If a journalist calls him on it, he can hide behind the fact that he didn't actually say he fought in Vietnam, and the rabble of right-wing whiners on the radio can scream, "Media bias!" It's a lose-lose situation. Yeah, well, I think most of us know. I agree with you, Rick. A good point. This is how this weasel, this worm, this is how he operates, and this is how the media would never question him on it. Never. There's not a reporter or journalist, radio or television or print who would ever directly confront George W. Bush on his "when I was in Vietnam" statement. Never. It will not happen. But I understand what you're saying. I do. Jimmy is calling from an undisclosed location. Now, why an undisclosed location, Jimmy?
Oh, I got a Defense Department load. And
oh, okay.
So
well,
this is an anonymous call.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah. Since you were talking about Zal Miller briefly, a lot of these Dixiecrats or whatever, they switched over to the Republicans. But I think that they wanted Miller. See, they can talk about something being bipartisan, and he's the lone Democrat vote sometimes.
Yeah, he and who's the other guy who occasionally votes with the...
There's Bro down in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, him too. But, yeah, you're probably right about Zell.
You know, they love that word bipartisan, as misleading as it may be, but that's convenient.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was going to call about, I heard of this thing on BBC where the London mayor, Livingstone, somebody wanted to know who invited Bush to London.
Yeah, I saw that report, and apparently this was an invitation that was brought up 2 years ago, before Bush revealed himself as an utter and absolute, 2.5 years ago, as an absolute fascist who was willing to sit on his hands while 3,000 people in this country were slaughtered in order that he could go to Iraq and with his buddies and get the oil.
Well, so where's...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Blair's people said that they weren't behind the invitation. They thought the royal family might have, but the royal family said that they weren't, and they thought the government invited Bush, and no one knows invited Bush.
The last thing I saw was it was handled on the ambassadorial level, that our ambassador to Great Britain met with the UK's ambassador or England's ambassador to the United States, and they thought that this would make a nice thing for both photo op for both Tony Blair and George Bush. And we haven't had an official state visit of an American leader ever to the UK, or once. It's either once or never.
Well, someone remembered Reagan's visit there and how it was staged to use for campaign advertising.
Yeah.
It was supposedly Reagan's number one political commercial that they had run. And since the aircraft carrier mission accomplished thing turned out to be such an embarrassment, they thought this could be a replacement.
Yeah.
And the mayor of London, he doesn't want to pay for all the expenses.
Yeah. We had that on the program last night. It's going to cost about £4 or 5 million.
Do you think this was set up earlier, though, huh?
Yeah. That's the last thing I read. It was something that was worked out apparently on the ambassadorial level, and it was worked out 2.5 years ago, shortly after Bush affected the coup in this country.
There goes my conspiracy theory then.
I don't know. I don't know what I just said is true.
Yeah.
I have no idea. That's why I'm just saying that's the last thing I heard.
Well, here's a question here. This gal down in Sugar Land, Texas, that had filed sexual assault charges against Bush.
Yeah, she's dead.
Margie Schottinger or something was her name.
Yeah.
When did she file those charges? How long ago was that?
I think it was with about a year ago.
About a year ago?
I believe.
Well, I mean, the assault must have taken, like, when he was governor or something?
If I remember that reading about it, and I know it's all over the net, I think it was when he was governor, yeah.
Well, the September 22 Houston Chronicle newspaper ran her obituary claiming she was a bullet to the head.
Yeah,
suicide, I guess.
She committed suicide, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, but the charges, you think, were not more than, say, a year or two old?
I think that's the case. I think that's the case. If you do a Google search on her, you'll get more than you could possibly use.
Oh, great.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yep, bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate you calling. appreciate your call. The Pentagon is tightening the rules on press coverage of funerals at Arlington National Cemetery. You hear about that? We'll talk about that and have some of the sound for you and your phone calls coming back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, Doug.
On the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Got an email here from Bev in Canada. She is a Canadian Democratic undergrounder, Canadian DUer. Dear Mike, I'm listening to your show via the web and heard the caller who was talking about Paul Martin. Now, this is the man who's going to succeed, apparently, Chrétien, the Prime Minister of Canada. Bev writes, I want to reassure you that Martin is liberal. His speech tonight spoke strongly against trickle-down economics and very strongly for ensuring that the less fortunate are cared for. His father was a very strong liberal politician, and Paul Martin served as finance minister in Chrétien's government. Yes, he does want to spend more on defense. Our peacekeepers are lacking in proper equipment, and their families need more support. He will not be kissing Bush's butt, but I have no doubt he will be making courteous noises regarding trade issues. So you see, you can still come here. we would love to have you about going to Canada. Regarding trade issues, because the Bush crime family could attempt to punish Canada, although Canada is the U.S.'s largest trading partner. I have no idea what the Bush thugs would do about Canada. Canada is certainly independent of the U.S. where it concerns foreign policy and domestic policy. They have a much more moral and decent and honest and just government, and I think part of it is because they do not have a corrupt system like we have here. They have the parliamentary system, which can be as corrupt as the sort of system that we have, but there's always the safety valve of a vote of no confidence for the government, and it immediately it comes down. We don't have that. We are locked in by the clock, whereas the parliamentary form of government, especially the British model, is not locked in by the clock. It is kept in place by the confidence of the people who put it there. Scott is calling from Santa Fe. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I'm glad you are a firebrand, and you say what you mean, and you mean what you say, man. That
okay.
really is valuable, and getting ever more so.
Yeah, well, it can also cost you your job. But,
when it comes to that, then you fought the good fight.
That's true. That's very true.
I've got two real quick quotes for you.
All right, let her rip.
From two great people. First one is, flags are bits of colored cloth that governments use first to shrink wrap people's minds and then as ceremonial shrouds to bury the dead.
Yeah.
That's from Arundhati Roy.
Yeah, that sounds like something she would write.
And the other one is my favorite quote of all time. It says, belief is not the beginning, but the end of all knowledge. That's from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Yeah, Goethe. Those are two great quotes. Especially the one by Goethe should be posted where folks who it should also be posted where Carl Sagan would write some of his stuff about the demon haunted world, because at a time when rational thought is so desperately needed, whether they're Muslim or Christian, you see people reverting into this psychopathic mythology of their, you know, my God's bigger than your God.
And yeah, I love what you have to say about religion, and I'm not against spiritual
there's
pursuit
a difference. Right.
or people's curiosity.
That's right.
But religion is what deadens that. You know, it just puts it in a slot, and then it's said and done. all over with.
That's very true.
You either subscribe or you don't. You're either with us or you're against us.
And if
you're either evil or you're good.
And if you're against us where it concerns religion, we will kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful stuff. Scott, thanks.
All right. Thank you,
sir.
Mike.
Take care.
Lightning in tow, and your tiny little light gets even smaller as you heed the heavens' mighty show. And I don't mean heaven like God, like, 'cause the animal I am knows very well that nature is our teacher and our mother. And God is just another story that we tell.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Is your home making you sick? A Canadian author recommends a checkup. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Angela Hobbs' excitement about her newly remodeled home in Ontario soon turned into frustration. The teacher and mother of two began to feel weak and confused, and at times she could barely get out of bed. 30 doctors could not figure out what was ailing Hobbs, but she noticed that she felt better when she was away from home. That led her to diagnose her own problem, a sick house. Hobbs defines a sick house as one where a combination of electromagnetic fields, chemicals, molds, and other toxins negatively affect at least one of the people living there. And she's written a book about it called The Sick House Survival Guide. It describes her experience with environmental illness and the actions she took to overcome it. Hobbs says her first order of business was to stop using chemical cleaners. She says we really don't know how household chemicals affect us, especially in combination with each other. She also got rid of unnecessary electrical devices, which create electromagnetic fields in the home. Hobbs says the typical house is now buzzing with electricity, with electronic devices in every room, each of which gives off an electromagnetic field. Studies on electromagnetic effects on the human body are inconclusive, but Hobbs says it's wise to err on the safe side and limit your exposure to electrical devices and power sources. She shuts down unneeded circuits at night, especially in the bedrooms. Hobbs says if you're experiencing fatigue, confusion, or other symptoms that can't be explained, you should look at your home as a possible source of your illness. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Fear of state religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion.
Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, very quickly here, the Pentagon, the Army, has tightened the rules on press coverage of funerals at Arlington National Cemetery. Reporters now are told to stay far enough away from the graveside where they're unable to hear a chaplain's eulogy. Reporters will be restricted to a roped-in area that is generally far enough away that words spoken at graveside cannot be heard. This is according to today's Washington Post. The order to enforce the restriction came from Army officials at the Pentagon. This comes as the White House and the Pentagon are showing increased sensitivity to the portrayal of U.S. casualties from the war in Iraq. Officials have also barred media coverage of the bodies of troops arriving at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, as you all know. Steve Robinson, who's executive director of the National Gulf War Resource Center, which is a veterans group, said, "It concerns me, this new rule, because you can't understand the true cost of war if you can't see the amputees and the people have been killed. The results of war have to be witnessed at graveside, whether you like it or not. The only exception will be if a family, in their grief, expressly authorizes that microphones be allowed graveside or that a reporter be allowed to join in." An Army spokeswoman at the Pentagon yesterday was unable to provide information about the reasons for this new directive. Jesus Christ. It is so close to happening. It really is. All right. Bush was trying to act presidential with the Italian president Ciampi in a photo opportunity today at the White House. Listen as he mourns the Italian dead. You know that it was 18 Italians were blown to pieces in Iraq the other day. So listen as he mourns the Italian dead, and remember, he has yet to attend a funeral of a U.S. soldier lost in his futile terror wars.
Mr. President, it is my honor to welcome you to the Oval Office. You come at a difficult period for your country. You come at a time when your nation grieves for the brave sons who lost their life. I send our nation's gratitude and prayers to the loved ones who are grieving today in Italy.
Prayers. Now, I have a question for you. I want you to listen to this, and you decide. You don't have to answer this outright, but the question is this the stupidest man ever to occupy legally or illegally the Oval Office? Now, when you hear this, you'll hear the Italian translation in the background, but a reporter asked the question, "With the speeding up of the transfer of power in Iraq, Mr. President, do you envision that meaning a quicker reduction of U.S. forces there?"
Well, we are instructed to Ambassador Bremer to take to go back to Iraq with the instructions that we will work with the Governing Council to speed up the political process in a rational way. That's what he's going to do. On the belief that we've made a lot of progress on the ground. That the Governing Council is better prepared to take more responsibility.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Does that answer the question? Do you envision the speeding up transfer of power meaning to mean a quicker reduction in U.S. forces there? I don't know. I've got to start loving Big Brother. I've got to be like Winston Smith at the very end of 1984 when he was drinking Victory gin and smoking Victory cigarettes. And after he had betrayed Julia, and after O'Brien had finally convinced Winston that whatever the state tells you is the truth, if the state holds up five fingers and insists it's four, you have to believe that it's four. You don't say it's four simply to stop the torture. You must believe it. And Winston Smith did, eventually. O'Brien finally broke him. Of course, it took going into room 101 in order to break him. That's when he betrayed Julia. Do it to Julia. Do it to her, not to me. But sometimes I think that. I think about the people who have called this program over the past 3 years. I think about the things you've said. I think about the things I've said. And I just sometimes wonder, I mean, I know the answer to this, but I sometimes wonder why we don't just let it go. Just kick back, drink the victory gin, smoke the victory cigarettes, and watch the telescreens when we have the the 1 or 2 minutes of hate, when they flash, when the Bush crime family flashes the current Goldstein up on the screen, whoever the current Goldstein happens to be, and just, you know, accept it. Still with the Italian president, Ciampi, in a photo opportunity today, an Italian reporter says, Mr. Bush, given the difficult security situation in the country, and given the fact that the Red Cross has left Iraq, what can be done to ensure a guaranteed protection of the return of the Red Cross and also of other humanitarian organizations to Iraq?
First, there are Red Cross workers still there. The headquarters left Baghdad, but many workers are still there. It is very important for the leaders of the NGOs to recognize that if they don't go into Baghdad, they're doing exactly what the terrorists want them to do. The situation on the ground for the Iraqi citizens, the humanitarian situation is improving. We will stay the course. And as more and more Iraqis realize freedom is precious and freedom is a beautiful way of life, they will assume more and more responsibilities, not only for security, but for humanitarian reasons as well.
Oh, my God. Do you have any idea what this ass said? So he makes it very clear, it's important for the leaders of the NGOs and non-government organizations like the Red Cross to recognize that if they don't go into Baghdad and get blown to pieces, they're doing exactly what the terrorists want them to do, staying out of Baghdad. See, he's got it all worked out. Cheney says to him, and Rove says to him, now, George, get out there and embarrass the Doctors Without Borders and Physicians for Social Responsibility and the Red Cross, and the Red Crescent, and go embarrass them. Tell them that they've got to go there and be blown to pieces, or they will be playing into the terrorists' hands. Terrorists, my ass. These are people. If our country were invaded by the Iraqi army, even with Bush as president, even if this country were fascist, as it was, as Iraq was under Saddam, even if that were the case, if this country were invaded, what would you do, Truth Seeker? Would you sit back on your ass and watch your family be blown to pieces, or would you pick up a weapon and try to kill Iraqis? Well, of course, you know what the answer is. Simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today. Reporter wants to know, Scott, on the judges, what's your strategy now? He's making reference to the fact that the Democrats managed to pull it off. These four neo-fascist thugs that the Bush crime family tried to force into our judicial system have been defeated. So the reporter says, on the judges, what's your strategy now? You're going to withdraw these nominees?
We will continue to urge action and continue to urge the Senate to meet its constitutional responsibility and allow for up or down votes on these highly qualified nominees. There are a number of vacancies in our courts of appeals, and the Senate has a responsibility to give these individuals an up or down vote. This is unprecedented, the type of partisanship and politics being played by a minority of Senate Democrats, not even allowing an up or down vote on these nominees.
See, you just want to take him out behind the woodshed and just take his pants down and blister his ass. You really do. He says there are a number of vacancies in our courts of appeals. Yeah, that's true, Scott. That's because when Clinton was president, the Republicans refused to confirm judges, moderate, middle-of-the-road judges, both Democrat and Republican. That's why there are vacancies on the courts of appeals. It's because of your stinking, filthy party. And then he says this is an unprecedented type of partisanship and politics being played, yada, yada, yada. No, it's not unprecedented, Scott. Your thuggish, pissant Republican senators did this 68 times to Bill Clinton. The Democrats have done it four times to this pig that's in the White House. So
he's calling the president a pig again. Jesus, let's get him off our station.
Simple Scotty again. Reporter asked about Bush's decision to release some of the documents to the 911 Commission. We didn't get to that story tonight, but the Bush crime family is going to release a little bit, but not much. And what is released is not what the commission's looking for. It's not what the families of those blown to pieces on 911 wanted, but the Bush crime family knows that if they release the documents in their totality, Bush would be tried as a war criminal and put in prison for the rest of his life. Once the American public realizes what these pigs did in order to effect this attack on this country back on September 11th, so they're not going to give them up. But the reporter wants to know about this. The reporter says, "Can you explain the rationale for the agreement the White House has made with the September 11th Commission? Not everyone is satisfied with the information provided them, including some families, Scott, including at least two members of the commission." And by the way, one of those members is former Senator Max Cleland of Georgia. Reporter, "I'm trying to offer you an opportunity to respond to complaints from the families who suggest that the White House is trying to keep something hidden, that it should not. Now, everyone understands you don't want intelligence on other matters to be shown to people."
"I don't want to get into discussions that are best had with the commission. If the commission wants to discuss issues, that is their prerogative. But these discussions that we have had with them have been very constructive and very productive, and they've led to the commission getting the information that they requested."
That's a lie, Scott. That's just a lie, but that's okay. That's all you bastards do is lie. It doesn't make any, you don't even spin it anymore. There's no point even pretending. You know, when you stand there and say, we're working with the commission, and it's been very constructive and very productive, and this work has led to the commission getting the information that they requested. That's an absolute lie. It's a total lie, but it doesn't matter anymore. Here he is one more time. Another reporter tries to get a real answer out of Simple Scotty regarding that 911 commission. The reporter says, "I understand the part of only showing them what they asked for. What is the rationale for having the White House review the notes they take on the materials that you have pulled out for them to see before they can..."
And I reiterate to you that those are discussions that have been very productive that we've had with the commission, and they were best held in discussions with the commission, not through media channels. And that's what we've been working with them on. The accurate way to portray it is that they're getting all the information they requested.
Obviously,
we always work in a way to make sure that we don't do anything that would weaken the war on terrorism, harm our nation's security, compromise important national security information.
Yeah, Scotty. Yeah, and you can hear the rumble in the background of the crack White House press corps, with a couple of exceptions. Helen Thomas, Russell Mokyber, and maybe a couple other people, with a couple of exceptions. The White House press corps has failed the American public miserably. It has allowed these cannibalistic pigs that are now running this government to do what they do with impunity, without challenge. The media in this country have set this situation up. So when you hear the little rumblings in the background of the crack White House press corps going, "But Scott, that's not what, I don't know what you want to do, but what I want to do is just walk in the White House press room and just say, you know, you all don't have any reason whatsoever to be complaining. You set this up. You are failures. You have assisted in the destruction of democracy and representative government in this country. You have assisted in the elevation of a punk and a thug into the White House. You have assisted in the establishment of fascism in this country. How dare you question this little 8-year-old who Scott McClellan, who stands up there and answers your half-witted questions." Yeah, I'm kind of pissed tonight. I really am. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Hey, you got a job yet?
Are you kidding?
Not yet. I read something today in the New York Times. The average unemployment thing is 19 and a half months.
19.7 months. Yeah,
yeah,
I was going to call and mention that.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, you hold out okay?
Oh yeah, not a problem, I mean, I'm hanging in there. So it's just amazing to me how the economy is being spun. I don't know if you caught the unemployment numbers this week, but when you look behind the numbers, last week they said there were 348,000 new claims for unemployment, but then when the numbers get released this week and the numbers went up,
sure,
they revised the numbers from last week, and
they always do. They
exactly.
Always, yeah, they always revise them,
right?
Whether they're weekly, monthly, or quarterly, they're always revised. And nobody pays any attention to the revision.
Exactly. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely Bush.
Well, the thing that I sent you an email on this as well today, but the thing that blew me away is that this morning I had to go get some service work done on my automobile. And I have a good relationship with the service manager. So I was driving up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard on the radio that foreclosures here in Dallas are up 34%.
Yeah, I saw that, I think, in the New York Times, yeah.
Exactly. So I went to visit my service manager this morning, and, you know, a person like that sees a broad cross-section of people because everybody's got to get the car work done, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, did you hear the news that foreclosures here in Dallas are up 34%? He says, that's nothing. He says, my real estate friends here in Plano say that foreclosures are up 350%.
Oh, my God.
Plano's a ritzy suburb
right.
north of Dallas.
Right. Well, you know, like we've said before, you've said it, I've said it, somebody said it. You know, we had 8 years of a damn good Republican president, Bill
mm-hmm.
Clinton, who
mm-hmm.
who provided peace and prosperity. And the voters in this country decided that they would rather have chaos, destruction, environmental destruction, war, economic disaster, rather than peace and prosperity. So that's exactly what they got.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I've been invited by a Republican that I know. Now, he's a pretty moderate Republican for Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing in 2 weeks who the other guests at dinner are going to be and how much I'm going to have to hold my tongue.
I'll be curious to see how that goes. Mark, thanks for checking in.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, sir.
Enough is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for the Washington Monthly.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm
tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something. Like, I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Jay is calling from Normal, Illinois. Jay, welcome to the program. I'm sorry, we only have about a minute and a half, buddy. Hello? Okay, I thought somebody was there. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio. Hey, Nick.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
You were talking about why Bush gets a free pass in the media.
Yeah.
I think you can illustrate why he gets a free pass if you just tell us what kind of changes you'd have to make in your own career if you wanted Tom Brokaw's job.
Yo, okay. Yeah, I would have to turn myself inside out. I've been told many times by various media people who were trying to advise me on my career or people I worked for, Malloy, you got to tone it down. Malloy, if you switched your position, or not just don't be so liberal, you know, your career would be, you know, and I just, I know that's the truth. I understand that, but I can't. Could you, Nick?
No, I don't think I'd go along with the Pians and Friends answers either.
Pians and Friends, right. Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. Just the way it goes. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. All right, sir. Appreciate it. Let me get this said. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Check it out, MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone there, I don't know why. And many thanks to Jim in Arkansas, who is our music bureau chief. Brian is calling from Richland Hills, Texas. Brian, we have about 45 seconds.
Okay, this is really quick.
Okay.
I know that you don't interpret dreams. I don't know, maybe you do, but I had one last night.
Yeah?
And I was at a Walmart.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan was giving a speech.
Yeah.
And answering for things that he had done, and all of a sudden he choked and gasped and had a heart attack and started going into convulsions on the floor in Walmart, and nobody there wanted to revive him. They just sit and stare at him with a glassy stare. And a lot of my dreams come true, and I'm hoping this marks the beginning of the end for the whole conservative Nazi regime. I think, you know, I don't know how would you interpret that dream, but it was a very interesting, vivid dream.
Probably the same way you just did, Brian. It's less of a dream and more of wishful thinking, perhaps.
Yeah, I know.
Brian, thanks.
Pause.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Oh, God. I will see you Monday night, I hope. I really hope. Have a great weekend, folks. Take care. Straight to hell. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kenny, wherever you are.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's Good Game.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your